that which has overwhelmed you is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. Keep receiving that grace, even in this time of sharing. Keep receiving the grace. Keep receiving the grace. Keep receiving the grace. I found myself last night just praying and talking to the Lord about our time today, and wanting to get a sense of God, where are we in light of what you're doing and all that's happening, and what is it that you want to say to us that helps us and keeps us encouraged, that keeps us moving forward? And very often when I wake up and my focus is always on the Lord, I just start to hear things. And this morning when I woke up, the first thing I heard was grace to finish strong. I heard the Lord say, grace to finish strong. It's in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and I'm reading it from the Message Bible. But I love how this reads. It's from the same passage, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where in the King James it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How many of y'all remember that? I see you, Mom. You was quoting it right with me. You know that word. But sometimes when you read it in another, in the King James, or sometimes, how many of you know it's kind of hard to make the connection, the these and thous and yea I say, and kind of throws us off. So when this version was shared with me, it resonated, and it's been with me from the time that I heard it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this: "Are you tired? Are you tired?" It's okay to be tired, y'all. Yeah, are you tired? Come on, just shake your head. This flesh gets wore out. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." Now, I just want to pause on that. He says, "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." That "you'll recover your life" means something else has taken over your life. Something else is driving you, pushing you. And I'm here to tell you again, that which has overwhelmed you is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. I love this passage of scripture. "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I will not lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, Ray, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Is it possible, Georgia, that we can really live freely and lightly with all the stuff that's going on? I mean, is it possible? I dare to believe that it is. But it takes a discipline. This walk takes a discipline. Or else life will overwhelm us, and before we know it, we're living life on life's terms. And that's not the best for us, Terry. It's not the best for us. It's just not God's best for us. Because life has a way of shutting down everything God ever intended for you, minimizing your impact in the earth. And so while you may love God, serve God in some capacity, except that you come into the place of recognizing the grace that's available and drawing on that grace and walking in that grace and stewarding that grace. It's a good chance that you and I will come to the end of our lives and we'll just have this nagging feeling on the inside. I there was more. I just knew there was more. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Years ago, I came across this statement as it related to the grace of God. The grace of God, an instantaneous enablement by God in the power of the Holy Spirit to do or say something beyond one's natural ability in order to fulfill a specific purpose of God in the time frame in which God permits it. There are graces that operate in our lives in certain seasons of our lives. There are graces that operate in our lives in certain seasons of our lives. And that's why you always want to stay in that place of the unforced rhythms of grace. You see, there's a grace that can be on your life to be a parent, to be a guardian. But how many of you who are and have been a parent and guardian have kind of gone through that season and know that grace is lifted? There can be a grace on your life in a certain area of employment. And you love what you're doing and you're prospering in what you do. But that grace somehow lifts because God wants to do something else with you. And then all of a sudden, that job that you love, that place that you love going to, now just feels like shackles on you. It's the grace that has shifted. It's the grace that has shifted. Grace of God, an instantaneous enablement by God in the power of the Holy Spirit to do or say something beyond one's natural ability in order to fulfill a specific purpose of God in the time frame in which God permits it. So I want to speak to you about these seven areas where I believe the grace is operating. And those of you that have been with AIRS any amount of time, you know that this is a teaching that I've taught before, but it's one for today. Because I don't know about you, but I need the grace of God. I need that overwhelming grace of God right now to handle all the stuff that's trying to overwhelm me. How many of you say, I need some of that grace right now because things are trying to overwhelm me? That which has overwhelmed you is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. Come on, say, that which has overwhelmed me. Come on, say it again. That which has overwhelmed me is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. Come on, say it again. That which has overwhelmed me. Come on, say, that which is overwhelming me is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. Now come on, thank the Lord for it right now. Okay, now you're doing good, you're applauding, but I said thank him. That's going to take your mouth maybe to do that. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Hear me when I make, I want to make this clear. You see, you have to recognize that also, see, some of you are in a season of advancement. Some of you are in a season of promotion. You're in a season of increase. But it doesn't mean you're not going to be overwhelmed in the process of that which has now been made available to you. And that's why you have to know that which has overwhelmed you, that which is trying to overwhelm you, is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God that's right available to you right now. I receive the grace. I receive the grace. I receive the grace. I receive the overwhelming grace that's overwhelming everything and anything that has tried to overwhelm me. Come on. Grace to finish. Grace to finish strong. There's grace for you to operate in your gifts. It's in Romans 12, 3 through 5. It says this: "For I say through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think as to think soberly, according as God has dealt to each man the measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, the same position, so we who are many are one body in Christ and severally members one of another, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us." There is grace for you to operate in your gift. There is grace for you to operate in your gift. When it talks about learn the unforced rhythms of grace, when you're operating in your gifting, in the season that God is working that gifting, there's a grace that allows you to do it, that no matter how challenging it may be, that grace sustains you, that grace strengthens you, and that grace keeps you moving forward without the sense of the heaviness. Grace to operate in your gifts. Come on, say, there's grace to operate in my gifts. Now, those gifts vary, and you have to know that. The gifts vary, but there's grace for you to operate in that gift. And that's why sometimes it's good for us to get still and say, God, help me to recognize the giftings in my life, in this season of my life that you're calling on, because that's where you want to live and that's where you want to operate. Grace to operate in your gifts. Secondly, there's grace to fulfill your measure. There's grace to fulfill your measure. Years ago in our ministry, we had what we called the Measure Workers Award certificate that we would give out occasionally to individuals serving in various places. And you have to know this, that just as grace shifts based on the season of your life, you have to know that God often has us assigned to one area in one season. That grace is there. And then he wants to move us because the grace now is lying somewhere else. The time is long gone and past where people just continue to stay in a certain spot all their lives. It's rare now. It's rare now. It's rare in the body of Christ. But it's in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 1-7, that says this: "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as also you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But unto each one of us was grace given according to the measure of Christ." But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of Christ. You see, think of it this way. You have Christ living in the on the inside of you. I have Christ living on the inside of me. Everywhere I go, I represent the kingdom. I represent Christ. Everywhere you go, you represent the kingdom. You represent Christ. But it's when we come together that your measure with my measure produces something greater than my measure or your measure would produce by itself. That's why it's important, brothers, that we learn and come into a place of recognizing the measure of Christ on the inside of us and the role that we play in the greater and the broader expression of God. That's why it was important for me to say, guys, come down here. Great to see you sitting up there, but that's not the same as getting in the same space together. It's not the same as getting in the same space together. As a matter of fact, we still have this spread out mentality. I mean, is it possible that we all could just sit in this section just one time? Just kind of shoulder to shoulder. Would that be too uncomfortable, Sylvia? I mean, I see you sitting next to me. I need my space. I need my space. But there's something about linking up. There's something about being arm in arm. There's something about being hand in hand. We each have been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Meaning that the gift in you that God wants to use, there's grace for you to operate there. And one of the things that we have to be mindful of is the fact that while your gifting may look similar to someone else's gifting, the grace may not be the same. There really is a grace to serve in the local church. There is a grace to serve in the larger body of Christ. Not everyone can do international travel. Just don't have the grace to do it. Sometimes it's the grace of the long flights, isn't it, y'all? It's the grace of getting on them planes and knowing you're going to sit for the next 20 hours. But when you get there, God shows up. There's a grace on many to do things in the community that others don't necessarily have the same grace. We're not all called to do the same thing, but everybody has to work their measure. There is grace, there is grace, there is grace to fulfill your measure. Thirdly, there is grace to fulfill your purpose and your destiny. And I will say this till I leave here, that everyone was born with purpose and destiny. Over the course of your life, you will have many purposes, but they will all lead to one destiny. You will do different things in different seasons of your lives. And if you steward it well, God will accomplish great things. And then you will graduate and he'll promote you to something else. He'll move you into something else. And you have to be careful now that you don't get so caught up in what you do that your self-worth and your identity gets caught up in that. Very recently, talking with Pastor Nina about our gifted LOJ team and talking about how life seasons and things have changed. They're changing. I said, I get that. So the same ladies that were dancing 10 years ago may not be dancing the same way now or dancing at all. It has to do with grace. It has to do with assignment. And there's a sensitivity that we must have relative to the season of life that we find ourselves in. Grace to fulfill your purpose and destiny. 2 Timothy 1:6-9, it says, "For which cause I put thee in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is placed in thee through the laying on of hands." Now this is Paul talking to Timothy. "For God has not given you a spirit of fearfulness, but of power, love, and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal." That means, Rhonda, before you got here, there was grace set aside for you. So my question to you is, have you exercised that grace? Are you exercising that grace now? Do you see it evidenced in your life? Have you made the shift in this season of your life that allows that grace to still be poured out over you, so it overwhelms everything that's tried to overwhelm you? That's the kind of mindset you've got to have. You've got to be willing to make the move. You've got to be willing to make the shift. You've got to be willing to make the change. So you stay in the unforced rhythms of grace. There are things that happen in life that God sovereignly allows to happen in life that moves us into a new place, a new purpose, that moves us closer to our destiny. God is in charge. And he has a way of allowing things to transpire in order to bring about and move you closer in what he has purposed to do in you and through you and bring you to him. But it takes, hear me now, it takes a level of maturity to really get this, to recognize the grace of God flowing through different seasons of your life. Because at the end, you really do want to have the testimony. There was grace for me and grace to finish strong. I finished strong. Doesn't mean you don't take some hits. Doesn't mean you don't get wounded in the process. Doesn't mean you don't get discouraged in the process. Doesn't mean you don't want to give up in the process. But something on the inside of you overwhelms that which is trying to overwhelm you, rises up on the inside of you and says, no, you really can do this. Now just get back up, square your shoulders, look at that situation, look at that person, look at whatever it is, and you face it in the power and the grace of God, and then you keep moving forward because there's grace to finish, and there's grace to finish strong. That which is overwhelming you is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. There is grace to be strong. There is grace to be strong. Recognize this, that God never intended, God would never say to you, be strong, but not empower you to be strong. He gives us indicators of how to be strong. They that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord, they that spend time with the Lord, they that meditate on his word, they that wait upon the Lord, they that just get still before the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. David said, I would have fainted except I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait on him. Wait on him. There is grace to be strong. There is grace to be strong. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, because of the extravagance of the revelations, so I wouldn't get the big head, I was given a gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch of my limitations. Satan's angels did their best to get me down. What he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. So you have to have a tenacity on the inside that says, you're only going to push me so far. And if you knock me down, I'm going to get back up. And if at the very best, it's just to get back up on my knees, that's the posture of power. You ever heard that statement? Get on your knees and fight like a man. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. Your grace is all I need. Your grace is all I need. Some of y'all just need to say that right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, make it personal. Your grace is all I need. 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 Krishna, your grace, his grace, his grace, his grace, his grace. His grace. Eric, his grace. His grace. His grace. Anita, his grace. Kayla, his grace. Deborah, his grace. Tonya, his grace. His grace. Arnaz, his grace. Philip, his grace. His grace. His grace. Your grace is all I need. 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 At first, I didn't think of it as a gift. I begged God to remove it. Three times I did. Three times. You know how you just keep going to God and you say, God, just take it away. God, just handle it. Get me out of this. 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 He says, hold on. My grace, my grace, my grace, my grace. I'm working something in you. I'm working something out of you. My grace, my grace. I know it's hot. I know it's tight. My grace, my grace, my grace. My grace is working in you. My grace is perfecting you. You're going to come out on the other side of this. You're going to be better off. You're going to be better off for it. Grace, 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 grace. Your grace is all I need. 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 I didn't think of it as a gift. I asked him to remove it three times. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My grace comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap. I quit focusing on the problem. I quit focusing on the weight. I quit focusing on the responsibility. I quit focusing on the situation and began to appreciate it. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. That which has overwhelmed me is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. There is grace to stay in the race. Don't you know that the enemy's plan, his scheme, his intention, is that now that you are born again, he can't do anything about that. Your salvation is sealed. But what he will try to do is make sure you never finish the race. Not here. He wants you to finish defeated. He wants you to finish feeling like you were a failure. He wants you to finish feeling like your life meant nothing. He wants your last breath to be filled with confusion and doubt. Will I really make it into heaven? See, that's what he's trying to do. And what he wants to do is get you discouraged. He wants to get us discouraged. He wants you to look around at all the stuff that's not right. He wants you to look around all the stuff that never came together. He wants you to look around to the point that you get overwhelmed by it. You get discouraged by it. And you just say, what the? And just throw in the towel. And just stop right where you're at. But there's grace to finish. There's grace to stay in the race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 from the Message Bible, it says, you've all seen, you've all been to the stadium where you've seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. Everyone wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I got. No sloppy living. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. There's grace to stay in the race. I am real clear right about now that many in the body of Christ are in some of the most challenging seasons of their lives. It's a combination of life. It's a combination of the enemy working to distract, to diminish, to discourage, to depress. But you have to know that there is grace to withstand hard times. There is grace to withstand hard times. Jesus was clear when he spoke to the disciples. He said, you will have tribulations. You're going to have challenges. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And that overcomer lives on the inside of you and I. There's grace to withstand. There's grace to withstand hard times. And everybody, I don't care who it is, at some point or another, is going to find themselves dealing with some hard times, some challenging times. It's in 1 Peter 5, 6, it said this. It's in Acts 20, 22, 24. But there is an urgency before me. I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. I do know that it won't be any picnic. For the Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly and clearly that there will be hard times. One translation says beatings and imprisonment. But then Paul goes on and says this. But that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. Finish what God started. See, some of you, you're in a season right now of something God started. Stay with that. Stay the course. Don't let the enemy have you second guessing, was it really me and not God at all? And that's why it's as challenging as it is. That's why it's as hard as it is. That's why I'm struggling the way that I am. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know about the incredibly extravagant generosity of God. He's talking about the gospel, the good news of salvation. There's grace to withstand hard times. It's in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, where he writes, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety, all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may destroy. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who called you. Do you know that you're called? Do you know that you're called? That settles a whole lot. I'm called. I'm called of God. That settles a whole lot. I'm called of God. After a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's the process that we find ourselves in. It's the process that you will find yourself in over and over and over and over, depending on the season of life you're in, depending on the purposes of God in the season of life that you're in, and how it leads you to the fulfillment of destiny. And lastly, there is grace to win, grace to finish strong. Grace to win, grace to finish strong. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers, now it's talking about now Hebrews 11. When you read Hebrews 11, it talks about all of those people of faith who believed and kept believing. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. King James Version, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. So when you find yourself fledging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I'm going to make it. Yes. Come on, you need to say, I'm going to make it. And I'm going to be strong making it. Come on, I'm going to make it. And I'm going to be strong making it. For that which is overwhelming me, come on, is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. I'm not going to make it. I'm making it. Right now. I'm making it right now. I'm making it right now. Come on, I'm making it right now. I'm making it right now. I'm making it right now. I'm making it right now.
I'm making it right now.
I'm making it right now.
I'm making it right now.
I'm not feeling y'all in here. I guess y'all. I said, I'm making it right now.
I'm making it right now.
You're making it right now.
I'm making it right now.
Wake yourself up. I'm making it. I'm making it.
I'm making it.
I'm making it. Come on, shake off the lethargy. Come on.
Hallelujah.
I'm making it right now.
I'm making it right now.
Come on, boost your enthusiasm.
I'm making it right now.
I'm making it right now. Grace. Making it. Making it, Sia. You're making it right now. Not gonna make it. Making it right now. Making it right now. Making it right now. Making it right now. I'm making it right now.
Right now, right now, right now.
Come on, I'm making it right now. That which has overwhelmed me is now being overwhelmed by the overwhelming grace of God. I'm making it right now. I'm making it right now. I'm making it right now. Some things are shifting right now. Some things are breaking right now. Some things are opening right now. Making it right now, Krishna. Making it right now. Right now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month. Certainly not next year. Right now. Right now. The grace is moving right now. The grace is working right now. The grace is active right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Come on, just be seated for just a moment. Let's prepare to worship God in our giving. But while you're doing that, I want to share with you this story. Yeah, just team, just we're going to work with that chorus right there. Your grace is all I need. I remember doing this teaching, and I found this video of this gentleman by the name of Derek Redman, the runner. And if there was ever a video piece that showed what it meant to finish strong and know that our Father is with us to the finish line, this particular video does just that. Tracy, I don't know if we still have that video, do we? We don't? You don't know? That's okay. We're good. Listen to this. Derek Redman, Great Britain's best runner in the men's 400 meter, held the national record going into the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona, Spain. Derek's life goal was to win a gold medal in these games. Prior to the 92 Olympics, Derek Redman had undergone 8 operations due to injuries. However, he seemed to be in good form heading to the Olympics in Barcelona. He posted the fastest time of the first round and went on to win his quarterfinal. In the semifinal, Redman started out well, but in the back straight, about 250 meters from the finish, his hamstring snapped. He hobbled to a halt and then fell to the ground in pain. Stretcher bearers made their way over to him, but Redman waved them off, deciding he wanted to finish the race. He began to hobble along the track with pain etched on his face. He was soon joined on the track by his father, Jim Redman, who barged past security and ran on the track to get to his son. Jim Redman pushed away a man who was trying to get his son to stop. Jim and Derek completed the lap of the track together, with Derek leaning on his father's shoulder for support. As they crossed the finish line, the 65,000 crowd rose to give Derek a standing ovation. However, as his father had helped him to finish, Derek was officially disqualified, and Olympic records state that he did not finish the race. But in the public's perception, he had finished and done so heroically. Yes. Derek didn't win a gold medal, but he came away with something more valuable. Life often throws pain at us. Derek Redman had two things working for him that day. The desire to run the complete race, and a father whose love for his son surpassed any obstacle in his way.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's our daddy. That's our heavenly father.
Hallelujah.
Who, looking at his sons, his daughters, his most precious creation, stepped out of eternity into time in order to save you and I and get us to the finish line. There's grace to finish strong.